Say, man, to see people still cooking on a clay oven out in the middle of nowhere. That's amazing. And you know what? Those souls are just as precious to God as the souls in New York City or Washington, D.C. You know, we're all going to stand equally at the throne of God. Amen. I had the opportunity to go to Mexico again in January. I'm with the International Board of Jewish Missions, and we are having more missionaries come out of Mexico now than America. Are we post-Christian? God bless. I'm praying for nationwide repentance. We hear about a great awakening in the 1700s and a second great awakening. Let's pray for a third great awakening, shall we? A nationwide repentance back to God. Our president, God bless him, I admire his stand. He said we need more religion in America, but what we really need is more Jesus in America. Amen. And so when we I was invited to go to Mexico City in January. 50,000 European Jews in downtown Mexico City. You would think you were in New York City, modern buildings, multicultural, and European Jews with the black coats and the side curls and the hats. And we were out there trying to give the gospel. We was able to get it to a couple of dozen people, Jews, a bunch of Mexicans and others called on the Lord immediately. What an honor to get to take the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I believe that that's God's emphasis. God's always gone to the Jew first. He went to Abraham, the father of the Jew. Jesus said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul, as the manner of his was, he would always go to the synagogue first, preach Jesus in the synagogues for three Sabbath weeks, and then he would go into the streets and preach to the Gentiles. And so I'm just going to do the same thing, amen. I'm going to do my best to go to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, that word ashamed is found throughout the Bible. And I'm going to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. No, excuse me, Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52. We all know Isaiah 53, the most clear picture of Jesus, the suffering Messiah found in the Old Testament. But it actually starts in 52. And, you know, when you try to preach, you want to preach what the Lord lays on your heart. And when I see a passage like this, Dr. Ronnie, I always want to try to cover the whole thing, but you can't, can you? And so y'all pray that I be brief because I'm hungry. I've not had lunch. But I want to try to share. And when I look at this passage, I'm looking at God's call to evangelism. Now, we all know when we look at the Old Testament, there's the immediate context, and then there's the prophetic application. And some try to spiritualize the text and say that God has taken all the promises from Israel and put it on the church. That's called replacement theology. I reject that. Paul said, give not offense to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. So God has a distinct nation of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob. We are the spiritual children of Abraham. If we have the same faith as Abraham, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We get saved the very same way. You know what? Salvation has always been by grace through faith. Amen. And so we see here, Isaiah 52. I'm going to read one verse, verse 8, and then try to overview. Let's look at verse 8 of Isaiah 52. The Word of God says, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Now just take that phrase and we'll go with it. When the Lord shall bring again Zion. In the context of salvation, it is overviewed in Romans chapter 11. So we're going to try to get to Romans chapter 11 and see how God has a plan. From the very beginning, God's had a plan. Amen. The Bible speaks of Jesus as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Can you wrap your mind around the idea that before God did anything, He knew He would need to send the Creator, the Savior, Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him. Nothing that was made that was made that wasn't made by Jesus. Amen. And He's the eternal coexisting God, the Son. A lot of people will say Jesus was the Son of God, but He wasn't God the Son. That doesn't make any sense. That's the whole point of the title. Jesus called Himself the Son of Man because He was 100% human. Yet God said, the Father said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. When Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, but what do you say, Peter? Thou art the Christ, Messiah, Savior, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, but My Father which is in heaven. And that statement, My Father, of course, they picked up stones in John chapter 5 to stone Him because He was making Himself equal with God. The Jews know full well that that phrase, My Father and the Son of God, is referring to the deity of the Messiah. Right. Unfortunately, they reject it. But one day, they're going to look upon Him whom they've pierced. Right. And after the two-thirds are purged, those that are remaining will look upon Him whom they've pierced. Today, a lot of rabbis get very angry and they say, you Christians believe that two-thirds of us Jews have to die so your Jesus can come to save you. Well, that's not what I believe. That's what Zechariah believed. That's not New Testament teaching. That's the Tanakh, the Old Testament. When the Lord shall bring again Zion. Look at that word, Zion. What is Zion? Well, initially it was the city of God. It was the city of David. So immediately it's talking about Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 5, 7. David bought that threshing floor and he built that city, the old city of David. They're doing all those excavations now. And by the way, the Lord has just opened up the opportunity for me to return to Israel March 17th. For y'all who don't know who I am, I had the privilege of living in Israel for 15 years. The government of Israel identified me as a missionary, kicked me out, banned me for 10 years until the year 2020. I've been trying to get back in since then. Last year, we were praying and hoping to get to move over. That door has not opened yet. So in the meantime, I'm going to be doing evangelistic journeys. I'd like to take a handful of pastors, maybe five at a time. We can rent a car. We can blitz Israel. You can start sharing your faith within 2 minutes of meeting an Israeli. They're very curious, very loving. They are so pro-Israel, pro-America. And they want to know, why do you love Israel? And you can start sharing your faith just like that. I bet half of the people in this room would love to wander the streets of Israel just sharing your faith with Israelis. See, it takes a two-pronged approach. I've had this burden since 1994 when I moved over. Tourists can stick their neck out and be public about it, and they're not going to get kicked out because you're leaving in a week or two anyway. They'll just say, don't cause a problem. And when you find an Israeli that has any interest at all, you can say, you know what, I got a friend who lives here. He'd like to meet you. And they do the follow-up. The summer of 1990, I met an Israeli. I tell the story every year. Only got a handful of stories. Though they be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant shall be saved. And a young lady named Hagit, she allowed me to sit down and give her a one-hour overview of the Old Testament, and I showed her Jesus as best as I could. Blew her mind. She had never heard this before. She said, "You've given me a lot to think about." Took her 4 years to come to faith. I met her the summer of 1990. We became pen pals after I came back. I said, "Hey, I got a friend. I want you to meet him. Send my greetings." 20 minutes away, a missionary had moved over, David Piles and his family. I always say I planted, David and his family watered, and 4 years later, God gave the increase. Amen. We can still do that today. You can go out there. You can meet an Israeli who's never heard the gospel. You can plant the seed, turn it over to one of the workers that are there. They'll water that, and God can give the increase. Amen. When Zion, when the Lord shall bring again Zion, you know, they're looking for, they call it the galut, the redemption. The Messiah is going to come, and all the Jews from all over the world are going to regather in Jerusalem. You know, they believe in Gog and Magog. I was talking to an Israeli 2 days ago. He called on the Lord in Knoxville, Tennessee, Maor. He said, "Magog is going to come very soon." You know what I said? Amen. It's coming.
Hey.
Look at verse 1 of Isaiah 52. Awake, awake. Didn't Paul preach that? Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Looking at this in the context of evangelism, we need to wake up. Did you see those hostages come out of those tunnels in Gaza? And the whole world said they look like Holocaust survivors. You know what Israelis want to do? They want to drop a nuclear bomb on Gaza, just wipe them out. Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Paul said in Romans 9:33, he made reference to Zion. Romans 9:33. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense." Guess who that is? Psalm 118, verse 22, is quoted about seven times, I believe, in the New Testament. It is a prophecy of the suffering Messiah who will be rejected by the nation of Israel. Isaiah 6:9, I led my oar to the Lord about 5 years ago in a most unique way. I never thought I would do this. I'd been meditating on Isaiah 6:9, where God said, "Isaiah, tell them, having eyes they shall not see, having ears they shall not hear, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and convert and be healed." Number one objection to Jewish people to the gospel: "You're just trying to convert me." Of course. From death unto life, amen. From darkness unto light. I'm not converting you. Be ye converted. When you are converted, Jesus said to Peter, they have to convert. Conversion is repentance, amen. They're going through a wide gate that leads to destruction, and they need to be converted and changed to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Psalm 118, verse 22. They read this every Passover. Passover is going to be on the second week of April this year. They're going to go through the unleavened bread, which is a picture of Jesus, the red cup, which is a picture of the blood of Jesus. They're going to have a lamb bone on the plate, which is a picture of Jesus. By the way, everything in the Bible is all about Jesus. Amen. There's two main themes in the Bible: Jesus and Jerusalem. Think about it. Why is there a Middle East conflict right now? One reason, Jerusalem. You know why? Because God said, I've chosen that. When God said, I've chosen that, the devil says, that's going to be our bullseye to destroy. God wants to sift you like wheat. Excuse me, pardon me. The devil wants to sift you like wheat. He wants me to say the wrong thing. And he wants to destroy Jerusalem. He's a destroyer. Psalm 118, verse 22. I am going to have to be brief. Amen. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. They sing this every year. Matter of fact, Jesus sang in a hymn when he left his Last Supper, which was a Passover, headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is the beginning of the road to the cross. And on the way, it says, and they sung in a hymn. And we understand it was this Psalm 118 because they've always sang this after the Passover. Jesus is singing this. Can you believe this? As he's going to the cross, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I willingly lay it down. This wasn't some cosmic mistake. God didn't wring his hands as they took him to the judgment. Jesus said, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. That was his humanity. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was his deity, amen. Nothing was going to stop Jesus. His face was as a flint. He was headed towards that cross. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Psalm 118, verse 24. Jesus is singing this as he's headed to the cross. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How could Jesus rejoice at the cross? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus enjoyed the cross because he had you on his mind. I've not gotten over it, amen. May 17th, 1986. Jesus saved my soul, and I realized when Jesus died on the cross, he was thinking of me. I've never gotten over it. The stone which the builders refused. Jesus quote this in Matthew 21, verse 42. Many shall stumble. Isaiah chapter 8. Let's look at Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, 13. The stone of stumbling, this rock of offense. It's nothing but more than Jesus. So when I was witnessing to Maor, it took 3 years for me to get to the point to give him the gospel. He wouldn't listen before then. And the Lord laid it on my heart to say, Maor, do you know why most Jews hadn't believed in Jesus? He said, why? And I just had him read Isaiah 6:9 in his own Hebrew language. And his eyes popped out. God himself has said we wouldn't believe. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Sanctify the host. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. You know, dread comes before all. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. The first fear is the dread, everlasting destruction. That fear can be converted into awe, amen. Only fear the Lord. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, verse 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense, to both the house of Israel, for a gin. That's like a trap. You see those live animal traps where the door slaps down? That's a gin. And a snare. That's like one when it catches you a rope by the leg. And so we see here, for a gin and a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know what? This is the greatest mystery in all the world, that Israel has rejected their own Messiah. But if you've ever read Romans 11, it's to our benefit. Through their stumbling, we were grafted in. You're like a wild olive branch. That fruit on that branch is bitter and nasty. It's not edible. It's good for nothing but to be thrown in the fire. But for some reason, and only grace, God took you and grafted you into a good tree. Woo! Let that try to sink in. He, the Isaiah 28:16. We're moving right along. We're going to get to the end of this real quick. Isaiah 28:16. He that believeth. Do you believe in Jesus? Say amen. Amen. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a fountain, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. What do you think when you hear the word precious? The precious blood of Jesus. Thousands, yea, millions of gallons of ox blood was poured out and washed down the Kidron Valley for thousands of years. They poured it out in the streets because it was not precious. But the blood of Jesus. Doesn't it say in Hebrews he took the blood? I believe he took it to heaven, amen. That's what Hebrews says. Oh, wow. Precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. It's not a hope so or maybe so, amen. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. Now, Paul quotes this and says, shall not be ashamed. The New Testament clarifies the Old Testament, amen. God is the Word, amen, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word haste means to be excited, to be confused. And the ultimate end of that haste and confusion is shame. It's the end result. We shall never be ashamed. Let's look at Romans 9:30. Romans 9:30. We're going to just go back and forth for just a few minutes. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained the righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, and the law was nothing but a schoolmaster that brought us to the end of ourselves. Romans 10:3, the end of the law is Christ. In the law of righteousness. The law will get you nowhere but condemned. It just shows you you're lost. You're unable to keep the law. You say, oh, we keep 613 commandments. No, you've broken 613 commandments. Verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. They failed. They dropped the ball. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Every September, the Jews spend 25 hours standing before God, and they believe He weighs all their good works on one side of a heavenly scale against all their bad works on the other side of a heavenly scale. Baptist preacher, when he was 10 years old, he was a Catholic at the time. His Catholic priest said the same thing. You got your good works have to outweigh your bad works. The 10-year-old who had more sense than that priest said, tell me, how much does a good work weigh and how much does a bad work weigh? Because I want to make sure my good works outweigh my bad works. The Roman Catholic priest said to his mother, "Don't ever let that child ask me another question again." Which is proof Catholics do not have the answer. Verse 33, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Going back to Isaiah 52, it says here, verse 5, Isaiah 52. "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, that they have rule over them? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed." That's talking about the heathen was blaspheming the name of God. Now the Jewish people, unfortunately, are blaspheming the name of Jesus. They call him by a nickname, which is a cuss word. And they say, pardon me. They say, "Jesus did miracles through the power of the devil." I've heard many Israelis say that to my face. Folks, that's unpardonable. If you believe Jesus did miracles through the power of the devil, you'll go to hell forever. Verse 6, "Therefore my people shall know my name." Look at this, Isaiah 52, 6. "Therefore my people shall know my name." You ask a Jew, "What is the name of God?" And they'll say, "Oh, we don't know the name of God." You know, the Lord in all capital letters is the covenant name of God, which we say Yahweh. But they won't say that because they say that may not be the way you pronounce it. It's Yud Hey Vav Hey without the dots underneath it. And so we don't dare try to even say the name. They just literally call God the name. Baruch Hashem, praise the name. What is the name? We don't know the name. Guess what? I know the name. It's Jesus. Amen. Let's look at this real quick. Revelation 19:12. This blows my mind. I love it every time I see it. Revelation 19:12. I've never gotten tired of reading the Bible. I'm ashamed I don't read it more. The Revelation 19, verse 12. "His eyes were a flame of fire." Woo! "And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew." You know what? We may not be pronouncing Yahweh right. I believe he'll forgive us, but when Jesus comes, he's going to say, "You've been saying it wrong all these years." A name that nobody knew, but he himself. You know what the greatest offense Jesus was to the Jews when he said, "My Father sent me. I came from him." Who do you think you are? God manifested in the flesh? Emmanuel. Verse 13. "He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." You're free to start running around the building, amen. Verse 16. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Wow. We can go home now, amen. Revelation 22, verse 4. This is it right here. "When he comes again, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead." Revelation 13, 16 says, "The mark of the beast will be either on their palm or on their forehead. You know, the jihadists have a headband with Islamic inscription that I'm told is the mark of the beast. I don't know. I don't read Islam. But I'm going to have Jesus' name on my forehead. Amen. Praise God. So from the head to the feet, we're blessed. Let's look at the feet and we'll go home. Go back to Isaiah 52. Got to wrap this up. Trying to make some sense out of it all. Isaiah 52. Verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Amen. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. How many know that that's from Romans chapter 10? How beautiful are the feet of him that bringeth forth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, and publisheth salvation, that cometh unto Zion. Thy, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chickens around under her net, her wings, yet ye would not. Henceforth, you shall not see me till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And at that point, he no longer preached to the nation of Israel. You know, when he first started preaching, he said to his disciples, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But at that same time, he was saving whosoever will. The Samaritan woman, the Roman centurion, nobody was cast out. Oh, there was that one Canaanite woman that came, and he said, it's not right for the children to feed, to give the food of the children to the dogs. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he'd never seen such faith. And you know what he did? He saved her, amen. Because Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all may come to repentance, amen. Oh, wow. I could write a book on this. Can't you see it? Oh, Romans chapter 10. The watchman. You know what the Bible says about the watchman. Are you a watchman with blood on your hands? God forbid. Well, we got to wrap it up. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 10. Isaiah 12, 10. Now, I'm sorry, Zechariah. Forgive me. Zechariah 12, 10. Read the rest of Isaiah 52, and these are the cross references. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour. Well, how can you not back up? Verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You know what? They're going to say, we're going to have to stop these Jews from killing all these poor Palestinians. I saw a headline that said, the United Nations said, we may have to force Israel to stop killing people in Gaza. How are you going to force them to stop? Verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, amen. Underline that in your Bible. And of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. I wonder who that's talking about right there. Oh, you know what? The Jews say that's a bad translation. No, that's a good translation, amen. And that's an accurate translation too. They shall look upon him whom they've pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. He says, henceforth, you'll not see me again till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he never preached to the Jews after that. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Oh, we could go on, but let's go ahead and look at Zechariah 13:6. Zechariah 13:6. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hand? That's another good passage right there. And guess what the rabbis say about that? Oh, that's not in the Hebrew. Oh, yes, it is. You're just lying. Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. One of the first Jews I ever witnessed to, I had him read that. He said, that's a bad English translation. You know what it says in the Hebrew? Kiss the Son. I'll tell you that later if you'd like. Wherein did you receive these wounds? What are these wounds? Excuse me. Zechariah 13:6. What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, these with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Right. What did he say to Judas? He called him friend, didn't he? Verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. I believe this is the tribulation period. All those that are in unbelief are going to be slain. A time of Jacob's trouble. Tribulation as never seen before, Jesus said. Was it 2.5 years of tribulation and Antichrist is going to be revealed in 2.5 years of great tribulation? Okay. I'm public school. I never did learn math. Two parts wherein shall be cut off, but the third shall be left therein. So a third of Zion is going to be left. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 11. Well, I get to be the first one in line for dinner, okay? Romans 11. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. You know what that means? It wasn't revealed. Guess what? The Jews that refused to read the New Testament, guess what? They're still ignorant. That you should be ignorant, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part. I once had a pastor say, God's put the Jews on a shelf. He's not going to deal with them till the tribulation. And you don't even need to go. You shouldn't even be a missionary to Israel. He wouldn't even have me come to his church. Paul says, I'm a Jew. What about Romans 10:12? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. A dear relative said he believed all of the Jews of history will be saved. I believe it's the third that's left. Amen. All that are left at that time, all that remain, and so all that remain of Israel shall be saved. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. That's the way I understand it. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You know, they kicked me out. They don't have a law against evangelism, so they just say you're a threat to public safety. Now, isn't that the biggest joke you ever seen? I'm a threat to public safety. But let's conclude by looking at Romans 10. We just read verse 12. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? I need to slow down. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written in Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of preaching. You've chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. May we take the Great Commission personally, and may we that are in this room go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all.